the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson. Now, being a neurodivergent individual and an abuse survivor, how can we use things to empower us, to inspire us to move forward?
I think you have to find your community, who will support you. And, you know, sometimes that's coaches and therapists, but it also can be friends. But choose your friends very carefully. Find like-minded groups. Find groups that are interested in healing or Reiki or whatever it is that appeals to you. Again, be careful. You know, if something sounds a little too good to be true, don't stick around. But finding a community or surrounding yourself with like-minded people, I think, is really helpful.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice, or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Hello, and welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast. I'm Rose Davidson, and together we're shining a light on hope, resilience, and transformation in the journey to end domestic violence. Each week, we bring you inspiring interviews with changemakers, survivors, advocates, and experts who are making a difference in the lives of those affected by domestic and family violence. Whether you're on your healing journey or supporting someone who is, this is your space for powerful stories, practical tools, and heartfelt inspiration. Let's heal through love. And today my guest is Ellen Bush. And Ellen was diagnosed with dyslexia at an early age and was dismissed by the education system, her potential written off in an instant. But her parents refused to let her be defined by those limitations. They nurtured her learning outside of the classroom, teaching her to navigate the ocean, fostering resilience through sport, and encouraging adventure. She earned her scuba certificate at 17, became an expert skier and instructor, and ultimately defied expectations by earning both a bachelor's and a master's degree. Despite her achievements, though, Ellen struggled with low self-esteem, underemployment, and toxic environments. After escaping an abusive marriage and enduring the sudden loss of her parents, who were her strongest advocates, of course, she was forced to confront both her trauma and the beliefs that had held her back. Through therapy, coaching, and training alongside Navy SEALs, she reclaimed her power and rewrote her narrative. Her debut book, Disempowered, shares her journey through adversity, healing, and transformation. Published in May 2023, it serves as a beacon of hope for those who have been told they are not enough. Now living in Colorado, Ellen continues to embrace adventure, carving ski slopes, telemark skiing through fresh snow, and exploring life's limitless possibilities. Ellen, it is such a pleasure. Welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, we're going to be discussing surviving, healing, and learning to thrive after trauma. So you've, in your bio, you know, there's a little bit of a history there, but, you know, tell me what's led you to this point in your life and tell me a little bit about your book.
Sure. So my book, Disempowered, I'll just hold it up here real quick to show you. The DIS is crossed out. So the idea being that I started out disempowered and I moved into becoming empowered. And I think when you talk about learning to thrive, you have to be empowered. You have to reach that point of empowerment to take back your life and really thrive. Mm. I was I had low self-esteem and low self-confidence because of the belief system that had been imposed on me through the education, K through 12 here in the US. And that's terrible. And despite all that support and learning to persevere and doing all these adventurous things, it's still deep down inside, I had low self-esteem. So I would naturally was the target of bullies, predators, narcissists, and ended up married to a narcissistic man. Narcissists are very, very good at what they do. They're very good. And I didn't really understand what was happening to me. And especially with the gaslighting, the manipulation, the control. And we had had an incident of violence where the police had to be called. In trouble, didn't know what to do, tried to work it out. But now that moment with the violence and the police, I was all of a sudden one of those women who I couldn't understand why they would stay in a marriage. And I was all of a sudden that woman.
Yeah,
And I did.
a lot of us unfortunately stay in marriages where we know that the problem, or we become aware of the problem later on, but we still stay. But for a lot of us, leaving is not an option, especially when the person that is causing the issue has lost the capacity to look after themselves. And it's often difficult for those that are caring for their abuser, to leave that relationship. And I know I'm in that category myself. My husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I've been stuck here now for some number of years. And to get him into care is like I kept putting it off and putting it off and thinking, yeah, I can survive this. But it's come to a point where I don't want to survive it anymore. And mentally, I just can't. But for a lot of people, having to survive through the trauma that's being caused, it can be quite challenging.
Yes, because it's, and I'm so sorry for your situation. It's very disorienting. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, just, oh, why don't you just leave? It's like, I didn't understand what was happening. I was constantly disoriented, off center, and it's part of the MO. That's what they do. And I also didn't understand how much danger I was in. And when I finally realized I needed to get out, I went and spoke to an attorney. And she kind of whacked me upside the head, for lack of a better term, and said, you need to get out, and you need to get out now, and you do not announce that you're leaving, because that's when things can become very dangerous. Here in the US, 70% of the women who are murdered when they try to leave their spouse. So doing it covertly was very important for my safety. And I planned and executed an escape, and it took about a month to plan. So now I also don't have any children, so I didn't have that factor, so it made it a little bit easier for me to leave. But I took the dogs with me.
Good on you. Yeah, a
I
lot of
took the dogs.
we have this law now about animals and domestic violence and how that they can't be used against the survivor in any way, shape, or form. And because I
That's
know a lot
good.
of perpetrators want to use and harm the animals because they think, well, if I can't have you, you can't have whatever it is that you love. So,
The viciousness is pretty extreme sometimes. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Ellen, if you don't mind sharing, how did you overcome your adversity and how did you reclaim your power?
So when I got out, I realized that I was in big trouble. I was so traumatized, I could barely function. I was driving through stop signs and red lights, and I needed help. And I knew I needed help, and I made myself a promise that I would never go through that again, because I almost didn't survive it the first time, and I probably wouldn't survive it the second time. So I started working with therapists, I started working with coaches, I started discovering things like breath work, yoga, somatic movement, and just kept at it. And really worked hard, and I was willing to dig up anything that would help me to ensure that that never happened to me again. So I was really willing to face anything. And every day it got a little bit better. It got a little bit better. And it was really interesting. I reached this point where I had done a been worked with an EMDR trauma specialist, worked with coaches, and I kept improving and kept improving, and then I reached this point where something else needed to shift, and that was when I was shifting from survivor and healing into thriving. And I think it was a very subtle feeling, but it was very clear. Another way to describe it is therapy can become go from a healing process into a self-discovery process. And I think it's a transformation that happens step by step. I don't think it's really a light bulb moment, but I knew I wanted more. I had survived, and that's great, and I'd done a lot of healing, but I wanted more. I wanted to go back and do the adventurous things that I love to do. I wanted to move forward in my life. And I think that's a place where a lot of people get stuck. Is they may come out, they do the work, they do the healing, they move through a lot of healing. And the healing, like I said, doesn't really stop. It definitely continues. But it's definitely a transition. And I think it's pretty slow. It's a step-by-step transition. But I think it needs to be. Because I think when we go through something that's this big, even if we could snap our fingers and just say, "Oh, you're healed," I think our bodies would go crazy because all of our cells would be like, "Wait, what just ha what ha what?"
I get that. I understand that totally. I think when it comes time for me to be independent, I'm gonna my body's just gonna say, well, what the hell's going on? Why have you all of a sudden feel relaxed? Why do you feel, that you don't have to like be tense and on edge all the time? I think, it's gonna be a heck of a transformation for me to go through
And
when
I
you go through.
actually went through a grieving process, which was really interesting and I did not expect. But I was letting go of part of my identity. And it wasn't an authentic identity. It was an identity that had been imposed on me. So it felt good to let it go, but I still had to grieve it. It was really interesting. And then I think there's energy healing that happens, or a healing that happens on so many different levels. It's in our mind, it's in our heart. I believe it's in our cells, it's in our energy structure. And I remember I did some Reiki work. So one of the strategies I used, I should back up a little bit, is I just try everything with credentialed people. I'm very careful to only work with credentialed people because there's a lot of crazy pants people out there who are
Oh,
more than,
absolutely, yes.
yeah, they're more than happy to take your money. So I've tried things like acupuncture, did massage work, did Reiki work. One of the things I learned is that trying something, and hey, you know what? That really didn't work. I didn't really get a result out of that. That's okay. Or maybe I did that for a while. I did acupuncture for a while and it stopped helping me as much. One of the things I encourage people to do is to come back to things. So maybe something, it wasn't just the right time for that modality. So I remember doing some Reiki work. And one of the things that the Reiki practitioner found, surprise, surprise, was that my voice was very suppressed. And she works in the chakra energy centers. And she worked to release all of that energy around my throat and the throat chakra. And the next morning, I woke up and I looked like I had the mumps. My neck was swollen out to here. And I got on the phone with her. I said, "Oh my gosh, this is what's happening." And she's like, "Ellen, give it 48 hours. You're fine. I have had the MMR vaccine, so I have to have it for my work. So I know I'm vaccinated." And I was just stunned to see such a visible physical reaction to the Reiki work. That was really, really interesting. And she was right, in 48 hours it was gone. So these things that happen to us on all our different levels, and all those different levels need to be addressed with the healing process.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, being a neurodivergent individual and an abuse survivor, how can we use things to empower us to inspire us to move forward?
I think you have to find your community who will support you. And sometimes that's coaches and therapists, but it also can be friends. But choose your friends very carefully. Find like-minded groups. Find groups that are interested in healing or Reiki or whatever it is that appeals to you. Again, be careful. If something sounds a little too good to be true, don't stick around. But finding a community or surrounding yourself with like-minded people, I think, is really helpful. For me, it was through CrossFit and also skiing. And also the training that I have done with Commander Mark Divine's program, the Unbeatable Mind program. He's the retired Navy SEAL that you mentioned. And he has an amazing training program where it's a lot about breath work, somatic movement, but it's also about how to take on big goals and how to work through that, how to break a big, we call it a BHAG, big hairy goal, big hairy, I'm not saying it right, but I think you know what I mean. Big hairy audacious goal. That's what I meant to say. And how do you break that down? How do you break that down into daily activities that are going to move you closer? And one of the terms that we talk a lot about is micro goals. 1% better every day is all you need to strive for. Just 1%.
Yep,
Because
absolutely.
in 30 days, you're going to be 30% better.
Yeah, and it's all about little baby steps, I think,
It is.
have a big audacious goal in mind, but take little baby steps each and
Exactly.
every single day to reach that
Exactly.
goal. It's
Exactly.
no good trying to go from zero to hero in, 2 or 3 days because you're just going to fall flat in your face.
And you may hurt yourself too if it's a physical goal.
Absolutely, absolutely. I
No.
mean, you've just come out of trauma. Why would you want to subject yourself to more trauma, of a
Exactly.
different type, just to reach this goal? So that if your goal is to leave, and unless it's like really absolutely essential that you leave immediately, but as you did, plan your steps and do it, quietly and do it efficiently, and just do it a little bit at a time, so that at the end of the day, your goal, which is to leave, is, ultimately reached.
And I started pulling out important paperwork like tax information, things that were important to me. I took almost nothing from the home other than the dogs and a few, important paperwork things, because couldn't fit that much in the car. So, and I really didn't care. I really didn't care. So, but also know through the healing and the thriving process too, I felt a very strong physical reaction, like the example with the Reiki healing. Some people I know will experience flu-like symptoms, and they're just going to be tired. Like you said, you're tense all the time. When your nervous system starts to calm down, and one of the best ways to do that, by the way, is a consistent breath practice, which is very easy to do. You can look them up on YouTube. You can find them pretty much anywhere. That calms your nervous system down, just brings everything down a few more levels. And it will not just calm down the nervous system, but it'll also enable you to think a little bit clearer. So it becomes an important tool for problem solving. And that was one of the things that was really compromised with me, because I was so confused and off kilter and, traumatized. I had a hard time thinking through things. I had temporarily lost that ability.
Yeah,
So
I
breath is
find
important.
breath work that works for me is the 4x4. So 4 in,
Yes.
hold, 4 out, hold.
Yep.
I find that that works for me, especially if I can't sleep. And I'll do that for, a few minutes, and by the time I get to, the 20th time, I'm at to it. It's so relaxing, it's so calming, and it just frees up your mind, because all you're doing is thinking about the four, counting, and you're not thinking of anything else, because your brain just doesn't have the capacity.
Exactly. We call that box breathing
That's it,
because
yeah.
yep, another name, because it's a and yeah, so that is my practice as well. So I do that in the morning as I'm waking up. I do it throughout the day just to take a few breaks. But it is incredibly powerful.
It is absolutely no, I can vouch for that. And I'm glad someone else uses it so they can vouch for it
Yes.
as well. Ellen, your book sounds absolutely fascinating. Where can people find it?
Sure. I'm on Amazon. Do you have Barnes and Noble there?
Yes, I think we have it online. I'm not sure that we have
Online,
physical
yep.
shops,
I'm
but.
on barnesandnoble as well.com. And also, it's available on Audible.
Oh, okay.
So it can be downloaded. I understand that a lot of people who are dyslexic do not like to read. So I felt doing the audiobook just made sense.
Wonderful. Now you can find Ellen on Facebook, and you can also find her on her website at ellenbusch.com and on LinkedIn. Ellen, what can people find on your website?
You can find a link to the book and the audiobook, as well as a little bit more in depth about my story. I have many personal pictures up there, family pictures, childhood pictures. If you read the book or listen to the audiobook, the time that I spent with my dad fishing was a very big piece of that. So there's some great pictures there with me, with family. And also, I do coach people. So I don't coach a lot of folks just for time management, but I do coach based on the Unbeatable Mind program. And I am a certified coach. So if somebody is interested in that, they're welcome to reach out.
Wonderful. Ellen, is there something else that you'd like to share with us today?
Yes, I'd like to say that as awful as things may be for you, you can survive. You can get out and you can survive, but you can't give up on yourself. And know that you're not alone. There are people out there like you and me and who really want to help and want to support. But know that you can not just get out, heal, survive. you can thrive and completely rebuild your life the way you want to do it, because I've done it.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to take away too, that yes, we can survive and we can thrive, with help from outside influences. It's not easy to do it on your own, and you need to sometimes you just need that little bit of hand holding, I think, to get you over the rough pot parts, because you've been through a rough trot as it is. So, get someone to hold your hand through the process and take away those rough edges along the way for you.
Absolutely.
Ellen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.